I'd like you to close your eyes and look at an image of your own face so that you, in your mind's eye, see your face. And then let it grow until your face is as large as the world. At least as large as a star, there will be a time when our imagining will be real, and that which we appear to be now will be our imagining. There will be a time when you will no longer think of yourself as this person, and when you will know that this person is but a diminished image of your larger self. Now, this face, which is as big as a star or the world, is really your invisible consciousness, which you're imagining to be your face. And that invisible consciousness becomes this finite human image right on this earth. But as you dwell in the knowledge of your invisible self, there will come a moment when something like this will happen to you. And only when you dwell in the invisible, you will begin to feel channels of light moving upward, just like wind blows a ship. You will feel light moving upward, and you'll find yourself moving up these perpendicular light streams, not as a form. And you'll discover it's like an elevator shaft. In 1 second, you'll know you've traveled the equivalent of millions of miles. You'll come to a place where it seems like you're being told to get off the elevator, the top of the landing, and you'll discover a feeling within you that this must be the upper firmament that I've heard about. And then you'll find that you do feel like a star. You do feel quite different than you did in that little body down there. And you can see the illusion of how form is created in a little capsule size. And all the little forms meet somewhere in what they think is a place called Earth. But it isn't. It's a level of consciousness called Earth. And they meet on that level of consciousness, and they think, why, this is the world. But it isn't. It's that level of consciousness which still has not become absent from the body and present with the Lord. But if you dwell in the infinite invisible of your own being, the light streams will pick you up. You'll find you're lifted in consciousness. And just as the merest beginning, you begin to find the upper firmament where you can dwell for a moment, where you can discover that there is no such thing as a human mind. It simply has never had any existence, and all it has built is a mythical kingdom called the Earth. When you have an experience akin to this, you will know why it was important for you to dwell in the infinite invisible of your being, to feel that self of you which no one is ever going to bury or cremate, in the now, in the here, in the ever-present kingdom of God, which is being. And only when you dwell conscientiously and consistently in this invisible self, are you praying without ceasing? Only then are you fulfilling all of the great revelations of Scripture which say, abide, dwell, let Christ live your life. And the more consistently you do it, the more you are inviting the infinite to lift you up out of the mythical kingdom into the kingdom that is. There are not two kingdoms. If you're not in the kingdom of God within you, you're in a mythical kingdom of the human mind. You must open yourself to that experience which is beyond the level of the human mind. And even when the human mind seems to have a glimpse of it, it is more of a soul experience than a mind experience. It isn't something you can duplicate at will. You can't say, well, now I think I'll climb a life stream. You must live in your invisible self. And you will be lifted. And you will discover the scope of your invisible being. And you will see what it is to be a child in the Spirit. And why there is a new heaven and a new earth. That these are not promises of tomorrow. These are the today that we are not experiencing in our physical selves. Only in this now of your infinite invisible self are you lifted into Christhood. And then you become a babe in the kingdom. There's no human mind there to tell you what to do anymore. The Spirit lives itself as you. You're in dimensions of yourself that are unknown to the human mind. Now where you are in this new realm, all that on earth had seemed to be separated, so that up there was the sky and down below was the water and in between was the air, they're not separated anymore. You discover they never were separated. They only seemed to be to the human mind. Nothing is separated. All that appears in the world is one everywhere in the invisible. There's not a tree here and a flower there. There's not a lake here and a mountain there. Right where the human mind sees the sky, the ocean is too. Right where the human mind sees the ocean, the sky is too. Why? Because God is the same everywhere. Sky is merely our human mind concept about God. Water is our human mind concept about God. The whole world fans out as an infinite variety of concepts about God. But what are they conceiving? They're interpreting the invisible reality of God. And that reality is the same everywhere. The entire universe that we call the world is just one point of God, and that point is the same everywhere. Infinity is infinite everywhere. We had to come through this world for this awareness of the vastness of our own being. So that when you look to the left and see the water, you will know in the invisible the sky must be there too, and every person in the world must be right there. Why? Because God is complete everywhere. And all persons in water and sky are our mental concepts about God. There's nothing in the universe that is missing in this room. There's nothing in the universe that is missing wherever you chance to be. Because God is there. and not God's big toe or God's right ear. God is there, and that means infinity is there. Wherever you are, infinity is, and when you're in your infinite, invisible selfhood realized, infinity is living itself as you. And that is your life eternal. Now this must be accepted through the Son of God, not through the human mind. The human mind can never accept infinite selfhood. It can never accept the miracle of God being all wherever God is. And even when it wants to, it does not have the capacity. Only the Christ mind can know the Father. Some of these experiences teach you far better than any human person, or than any human person who speaks some degree of truth. Because when you find the words of an individual, or when you find the thoughts of your own human mind, you're not dealing in absolute truth. And that means it isn't truth that you can depend upon. It's truth that changes with the times. But the truth of the kingdom of God within you experienced is absolute truth. It can be depended upon. Nothing else can be depended upon. When Isaiah tells us, as the word of God speaks through him, my thoughts are not your thoughts, he is telling us that the human mind cannot be depended upon. However brilliant, its thoughts are as evanescent as that mind itself. And that mind is buried with the body. And its thoughts are no more. That which is mortal can never give vent to anything beyond mortal thought. No matter how it pretends, that which is perishable can never give vent to anything which is less than perishable or more than perishable. It must die. It is a relative truth. It is not an absolute, dependable truth. But the thoughts of the Father in you become your thoughts as the human mind abdicates. And the human mind, which cannot know God now, but always wants to know God tomorrow, then is no more. And now, my thoughts are your thoughts. In your invisible self, my thoughts are your thoughts. My action is your action. My perfection is your perfection. And then I, in the midst of you, can lift you. I, in the midst of you, can journey into the Father's many mansions. I, in the midst of you, can show you why there never will be a resurrection. Because I am life eternal. I have overcome the world. I am one with the Father now. I, in the midst of you, am the absolute truth. What is truth? Said Pilate. He turned on his heels and walked away. There was no answer to give him. Truth isn't a word. Truth isn't something you speak. Truth is your being. The invisible self of me is truth. The invisible self is truth. It doesn't speak to mortal beings. It is all there is. There is no other. I, in the midst of you, am all there is. I am the all in all. I am the self, the one being. I am the truth. And the many mansions of the Father are open only to the invisible self, the truth. Now we're to walk in these invisible mansions. We're to rejoin that self of us which lives in the invisible mansions of truth. But the mind would imprison us in garments of clay. The spirit says no. Spirit is free. Spirit is absolute. Spirit alone exists. Mind is a myth. And as long as you imprison yourself in the myth of a mind which is a myth, the Christ message walks the earth with no mind to comprehend it. All this John discovered. All this Jesus demonstrated. All this John the Baptist suspected. And here we are, heirs in Christ, able to look back now at a demonstration of the nature of our own being. Not at a man performing miracles, not at the only Son of God whom God put on a cross for our sins, but to look at the perfection of your own being in action in the face of problems, in the face of laws of matter, laws of physicality, laws of the mind, laws of heredity, laws of environment, all of which are proven to be laws only to the human mind. And the bars of the prison cannot hold us any more than they could hold Peter, as we know ourselves to be the life of God. We extend this to those around us. We only recognize them as an invisible being. We recognize the invisible self of every individual. And then, to our great joy, the visible self of that individual and the visible self of us seem to be in a form of harmony, because we are not violating divine law. If you are not witnessing the invisible self of being, you are in violation of divine law. And the mind of man is committed to violation of divine law. It isn't enough to fast the stomach. We must fast that mind. We must fast in the heart. The fasting is fasting from the visible self, fasting from the concepts of the mind, the material concepts, the space and time concepts. All of the fasting is the infinite silence, living in the invisible self of your own being, which is the invisible being of everyone you know. When you're sowing to the one invisible self in everyone, you're praying. You're praying as beautifully as you can. That's why the Father seeth in secret and rewards thee openly. Grace is made manifest through the one who lives in the invisible self of all. Now, do you see then that the problems of those around you are the same as your problems? And when you have accepted problems in others, you are not sowing to their invisible self. And you cannot, until you've done it to your invisible self, to know, to feel, to be able to have that consciousness which transcends the experiences of a normal human mind. Then you can look at friend and foe, loved one and enemy, family and out of family, and say, I feel the invisible self of the universe everywhere. It is the only self there is. I know this beyond what my mind knows. I know this through my acceptance of my own invisible self, through the hours and hours spent with that invisible self. And then the divine consciousness comes through like the sun and teaches you, and you live by the revealed word of the Father in you, the word becoming manifest and visible, the word feeding and sustaining, the word coming through that invisible self as the law of God, the power, the presence, the light, the way, the truth, the harmony, those things which no mind can fathom or fashion, because they're above the mythical mind. The things of above are here. The things of above are now. Now, every day that we are not accepting our invisible self, we are rejecting Christ. And when we are not accepting the invisible self of our neighbors and friends, we are shortening the arm of Christ everywhere. Now, what is the law of Christ? Is there any imperfection in Christ? You know there is none. The Son of God, the infinite Christ, is the everywhere life of everyone who walks this earth. Now, where are you going to accept that Christ isn't? Can you find a place where the invisible Christ is not present? Can you find a place where the invisible Christ is not your own self? If you don't know yourself everywhere, you don't know yourself here. Now take all the problems you thought were out there. Where are they? They're in the mythical kingdom. They're not out there at all. They're not in Christ out there. And if the problem is there to you, then Christ isn't there to you. You can take all the hate and violence and war and fear, whatever it is that's out there in the mythical kingdom, and ask yourself if Christ is there or these things. And if Christ is there, are these things there? Or are they only there in the absence of the conscious recognition of the invisible Christ? Clean up our world. Clean up our universe by recognition of the invisible self everywhere. That's cleansing the temple. Instead of fretting and sympathizing and pitying and defending and fighting and struggling and striving, be still. Christ is there, just as Christ is here. There are no problems in Christ. Who are you struggling about? Who are you worrying about? Whose problems are you defending and empathizing with? Christ? Of course not. You're letting the mind invent a person where Christ is. Get back to Christ there. Christ in you. One unseparated Christ. One invisible self, and rest there confidently. Confidently. Without thought, without fear, without concern. And let your consciousness tell you that where Christ is, whether you know it or not, the law of Christ is in operation. The law of Christ is functioning throughout the invisible universe now. Don't try to make it come into the visible world. Don't try to bring Christ into a mythical kingdom. The secret of no power is to rest in Christ and to know that thy kingdom is come on earth as it is in heaven now. That which I see cannot be the truth because it is not the activity of Christ. And whatever is not the activity of Christ is not here. There's no place for it. Because this is the kingdom of heaven on earth now. And it is invisible to human minds. But it is not invisible to him who is awakened from the dream. It is not invisible to your true self. Awaken your true self, accepting Christ here, Christ there, Christ everywhere, no matter what appears to be. You can accept that where Christ is, the law of God is functioning. God is never going to leave the earth. God is never going to abdicate in favor of evil. All evil, all inequality, all injustice is nothing more than the false human mind making visible its false concepts. Back to Christ. Your invisible self, the invisible self of those whom you would help in some way. The invisible self of all. No favorites, and rest there. And watch. Don't channel it. Don't direct it. Don't guide it. Don't tell it. Don't hope it will do something. It is doing it. Perfection is present everywhere now. You don't have to do anything to make it so. The moment you try to, you've lost it. You must accept your perfect invisible self everywhere now. And if you find it hard to accept your perfect self everywhere, you can know that the perfect self over there of that other individual is at least there. And then maybe you will finally come to a place where you can say, and that perfect self is the perfect self of me here. But when you are living in that invisible one, in your consciousness, it isn't so that you can change the outer picture. Because we don't want to change the mythical picture. We don't want to improve it. We don't want to use spirit to improve what isn't here. You will flounder on that. You must rest in the spirit and let it reveal itself as it will. And you may not agree with what it reveals. Lazarus, come forth, because the invisible self is there. Not because I want to change the picture and make Lazarus live again, but because I wish to demonstrate the invisible self is there. This maid isn't dead, she is sleeping. The invisible self is here and it is living. Always the revelation that the invisible self is there and alive and perfect and functioning. And the value of knowing that is to eliminate all of the remnants of human thought, of human fear, of human doubt, of human empathizing, so that you will rest in the Word, which is the Spirit of God, walks this earth invisibly as the only presence, the only life, the only being. And it will not be made flesh until it is recognized by your enlightened consciousness as yourself and the self of everyone who walks the earth, without saying this one yes, but that one no. All human thought is division. Absence of human thought releases the one. The missing ingredient, again, is the invisible self, undivided, everywhere, ever present, ever functioning perfectly, and everything that says no is a lie. Whoever rests in that invisible self everywhere, beginning with here where I am, will discover its power. Let's run through a couple of Joel's statements out of the chapter. Nothing that can be known with the mind is absolute truth. Therefore, we cannot depend on any statement of truth we know. Well, that's pretty definite. Now, the importance of that statement, as I see it, is this. If we cannot depend on any truth that the mind knows, how do you receive truth? And so he's pointing to us that we must live by the inner impartation. It's not my exchange with you or your exchange with someone else, or someone makes a great lecture and tells us that everything is energy, and if you know all about energy, you know it all. That's fine. It sounds great to the mind. If we can just understand energy, we've got it all. And you give that any fancy name you like. It isn't inner impartation. And ultimately, you'll find that it isn't truth you can depend upon. The mind looks for a way to harness these things. Catchphrases, formulas, things you can memorize. But truth is living, spontaneous, instantaneous. And when you live in your invisible self, you're living by inner impartation. You're living by divine truth, my thoughts, which are not human thoughts. And so the importance of knowing that any truth we can know with the mind is not absolute, cannot be depended on, is to turn us into the listening attitude, but not with the human mind. Listening as the invisible self, the Christ, for inner revelation, inner guidance. When you live by grace, you live not by physical might, not by mental power, not by knowledge. Now, of course, the entire world of science lives by knowledge, not by grace. In fact, grace is a word that seems to be foreign to the human mind. It simply doesn't know that there is a law of grace. And yet, the Christ teaching came to take us from material, physical, mental law into the law of grace, into the kingdom where perfection is the law of all life. And to us, that has remained a mythical kingdom, although it is the only reality. To the measure that you are experiencing the law of grace, you may be sure that you have found your invisible self, which is without birth and without death. And to the measure that you have not found grace, you may be sure that you have not concentrated on living in your invisible self. Because that's where it is. That's the kingdom of God within you. Your developed consciousness of truth is not a power over the law. It is proof, and this is very interesting, it is proof that the law is not a power in the presence of your consciousness of grace. So we don't need a power to overcome a power. When we're in the consciousness of grace, then we are able to witness the non-power of those things which through human mind we thought we had to overcome with a higher power. In grace, you don't have to go for a power to overcome anything. Grace is the power. And all so-called powers are transcended. It's a total eclipse of all human powers, all physical powers, in the presence of grace. I think that's the meaning of I have overcome the world, in the presence of I in you, spiritual consciousness, the conscious awareness of your invisible self, in that presence. You need no power. Nothing can come nigh thee. Strangely, all efforts to in any way harm you are thwarted without any action on your part. Strangely, the problems of the world have a way of noticing there's a sign on your doorpost and they go right by. That invisible sign is the spiritual awareness of being. Nothing can come nigh your dwelling, because how can a human problem touch Christ awareness? You may not at this moment feel that you can walk through this world untouched, but in Christ, more of the world begins to you to appear as nothing but immaterial light, so that you do feel you can walk through it. Just as you would walk through a sunbeam, all around you appears to be unsubstantial. Nothing to hinder you. Nothing to throw an obstacle in your course. The Christ walks through its own kingdom, but to human eyes looking at the Christ, they think it's walking through the world. The Christ of Jesus walked through its own kingdom, and man thought he was walking through the world. John could see the invisible Christ, which is the Father within that doeth the work. Christ in you has no obstacles in this world and needs no powers to overcome them. He lives by grace and appears outwardly as the manifestation of grace, without processes of human thought, without evil to resist, without powers to overcome, without lacks and limitations, without deficits, without schedules. Timeless, spaceless, invisible Christ will appear in your visible world as an activity of grace, manifesting the law of perfection. In all things, my grace is thy sufficiency. In all things, and my grace and your infinite invisible self go hand in hand. There's no power external to you, says Joel. And that you, of course, isn't this human self. That's why I can say there's no power external to your invisible self. Because your invisible self is all there is. It is infinite. All power functions within you. And it is only of a spiritual nature. It does not govern anyone. It does not control anyone, does not dominate anyone. But it is a spiritual law of freedom to everyone. There's your key. You have the spiritual power within you to free those who are imprisoned in the mind. You say, well, why didn't somebody do that to Adolf Hitler? You must understand, this doesn't mean that you can go around freeing the world. It does mean that you learn first to live in freedom yourself, and that over you there's no Adolf Hitler, over you there's no Pilate, over you there's no material weather, over you there's no lack and limitation. That's your first demonstration. And only when you have attained a measure of that freedom can you have the capacity to extend a measure of that freedom to those you come in contact with. You cannot demonstrate Christ around the corner until you demonstrate it at home. There was a lot of damage done by Hitler to the visible eye. There were some people who weren't touched. But do you think that there was less of God or more of God because of anything that happened? Do you think this happened in reality? Do you think there was a God standing by and putting his hands behind his back and saying, well, what of it? You are looking at mythology. And we're at that level in consciousness where we can recognize that it's either good mythology or bad mythology. But all that is of the flesh is in the dream. Let's not get caught in the web of that dream now. We're building the consciousness of truth, of reality, of grace, of life. Not of non-life, not of imitation, not of counterfeit images walking in time and space. We're learning to walk in life, untouched by images, through grace. The world goes and prays to God for peace, and God has no peace to give. That's Joel's statement. I remarked on it when the Pope prayed for peace some time ago. And every time someone gets up and prays for peace, or prays to bless this food, dear Father, they simply don't know what they're talking about. They expect God to bless their digestive tract and God to bless us with peace. And God says, my kingdom has come. You're just denying it right now. You're asking for peace as if it weren't there. Why don't you go into my kingdom on earth and find it? The kingdom of God within you is at peace. There's no war there. You're simply not living in my kingdom when you're asking me for peace. You're not living in my kingdom when you're praying for me to do something. I've done it, and I'm doing it. The kingdom of heaven is on earth. God has no peace to give. God can't make a peaceful mythology. Peace is in the kingdom of God on earth now. We're learning to live there, to experience that peace. And then my peace I give unto you. But not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Mine is the peace that is everlasting, not signed by treaties. The peace of the Spirit, a peace that can never be violated by human hands. For God lives not in temples made by hands. Now this is a real invisible world. Don't put it into that heavenly hereafter. This is a real, imminent, invisible world. It is the original reality from which all of the concepts are made by the counterfeit human mind. Every sense activity of the five senses is simulating this invisible reality in which we are walking now. There'll never be a death or a murder or a corpse in the invisible kingdom of God now. And all life that ever walks this earth will always walk this earth. Now let's get that feeling within us and let's live in that truth instead of the concepts. Says Joel on page 28, Beyond Words and Thoughts, I am not man. I do not have to be forgiven. I and the Father are one, and that one is Spirit. That one is life eternal, the spiritual self which I am. We can read those words, but the consciousness that uttered those words was the Spirit, which said those words. And when your Spirit is saying those words through you, you're outside the veil. You're in the eternal. You cannot be touched by human hands. I think his last statement then might sum it all up for us. Do not try to do something to or for those who come to you with sin, disease, and lack. That might seem to be an indifference. Do not try to do something for them. Well, that's not indifference, that's love. But be that state of grace. Be that state of grace which reveals their non-presence. In other words, don't accept the visible image as the reality. That's the world concept. That's the cosmic image. What are you going to accept? The invisible life of God, which is there, is all that is there, and it is the life of that individual, that animal, that tree, that forest, that river, that mountain, that person. And it is my life. That is all that is there. God invisible is all that is anywhere. And as you're true to God invisible as the only presence, the only life, the only power, in every possible way, in all thy ways, you inherit that which is the visible earth. And for you it becomes the invisible kingdom of God made manifest, for you are walking under the law of reality, the one, the spiritual self that is God. Wherever God is in consciousness, God is. And nothing can change the power of God. Whoever you know has an invisible self. You cannot know that person visibly. You have not the capacity. If you know me visibly, you do not know me. If you know anyone visibly, you do not know them. You can only know who they are if you know their invisible self. And when you know their invisible self, you know that there walks the Spirit of God. Then you are not malpracticing. Then you are liberating them and yourself. And you are accepting omnipresence, omnipower, omniscience. You are accepting the invisible universe of God, inhabited by His living children, all joint heirs in Christ. Now that's our kingdom. That's the kingdom that Jesus demonstrated, because He was that invisible Christ walking in that kingdom. That was what John discovered. That's why he wrote his gospel, to teach us that what he was demonstrating, we must learn to live before night comes when no man can work. We'll move ahead next week with John into the disciples, probably go into the third chapter, Thou shalt have no graven images. And ultimately we hope to walk together in our kingdom, manifesting His glory together. Your exercise is to rest in that self which the world can never bury. I mean this very seriously. In that self which the world can never bury, and know that's your only self. There is no other. Until you feel it, and you know exactly what you must do from there. When you feel that self which can never be buried, you will have found Christ. Paul was hid in Christ. We must be hid in Christ, aware of that self. Thanks again.